What's going on, everybody? This is Black Men Sundays. I'm your host, Corey Sylvester Murray, and we're talking about generational wealth, finance, business, mental health, and today we're talking about nutrition.
It's a Black Man Sunday. Time to put all childish things away. I refuse to be the man I was yesterday. Gotta put my best foot forward and elevate.
I want to thank everybody that donated to the Black Men Sundays Turkey Drive. Everyone should have had their turkeys by now. This is the Sunday right after Thanksgiving. And who did I bring on the show today? I brought Gregory LaFortune. This brother is a registered dietitian, nutritionist, men's health educator. I met this brother a month ago in October at the Men's Excel Summit hosted by Black Enterprise. I sat in on this brother's lesson, and I said, we need this brother on Black Men Sundays. So Excel, I'm going to need a check for that quick little drop. So by the way, Gregory LaFortune, brother, welcome to Black Men Sundays, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Corey. Thanks for having me, everybody. Really happy to be here.
Yeah, man, because you know, you famous, you all over the place doing speaking engagements. Like I said, this brother is a registered dietitian, nutritionist, men's health educator. So I just want to jump in. We're in the holiday season, but I want to get rid of a misnomer because I feel like a lot of people that I hear, they say, you know, I don't have Whole Food money. I don't have Sprouts money. There's no way I can eat healthy without making a ton of money. Is that a misnomer? Or do you really have to spend a lot of money to eat healthy?
Yeah, I think people get tripped up with the whole health conversation in regards to like the pricing of how much it costs to purchase healthy food, healthy groceries. The truth is, you don't have to have Sprouts, Whole Food money. You can have Walmart, Aldi, whatever kind of money that you got. You can use that and flex that at the grocery store to prepare healthy meals in order for you to enjoy the holiday seasons, but also be very health-minded at the same time.
So when we're talking about the holiday season, because that's what I struggle with. When I go to my auntie and them, grandma houses, we ain't eating healthy. I mean, it's healthy as far as I'm getting nourished and I'm full. You know, I got the candy yams, collard greens, mac and cheese, stuffing. You know, some people call it dressing. You know, I'm from up top, so we call it stuffing. But when you eating like that, right? When you eating like that, and you know it's the holidays, is there a way to eat healthy holiday foods?
I love the question because the truth is, you can still have whatever holiday foods that you have and still eat healthy. Does that make sense? Like, you can still have the candied yams. You can still have the sweet potato pie, the apple pies, whatever the case may be, and still eat in a very mindful and healthy kind of way. And that's something that I want to discuss today. Because the truth is, as long as we're being mindful of our overall intake, you know, we're not overstuffing ourselves or going into this with the mindset of eating too much, overeating, but we're going into it with a very conscious mindset. And really remember that the holiday seasons, food is just the feature of that. And it shouldn't be the main reason why we're coming together. We're coming together to celebrate family. We're coming together to spend time, build nostalgic moments and really just build a really great atmosphere. And the food is just a part of that. So if we can have that mindset going in, that's just one of the ways that we can make sure that we're not overeating in the holiday season.
Okay, yeah, because I'm not going to lie to you, you know, I just did my turkey drive, so I got my workout in. I mentored my kids last Saturday, played some basketball with them. I played basketball with them yesterday. Oh, the drive rocked out, man. We did three Boys and Girls Clubs. We did a Maxi Community Center, which features senior citizens that cook for their grandkids, great-grandkids. Yeah. And we also took care of a VFW, a veteran of foreign wars that needed turkeys as well. Matter of fact, I just came from that event. So everything's been going well, man. But I want to talk about when we're talking about holidays, I'm not going to lie. I'm going to be honest with you. That's why I had you on the show. I look at it like, okay, outside of my turkey drive and mentoring, I'm like, you know, I ain't trying to work out right now. I'm going to go to grandma's house. I'm going to have family over. I'm about to eat all this food. And then Christmas is coming. I'm about to drink some eggnog. So I just wait till January. I know I might get a little stomach pudge, but I'm going to wait till January to think about eating healthy. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, let's talk about it, because truth is, who says that we have until January? Who says we're going to be here in January, right? You never know what life brings. And my mindset is going to always err on the side of let's be healthy through it, right? So even if we're not, and a lot of times this is the whole all or nothing mentality where we either have to be eating healthy and exercising or nothing at all. And the truth of the matter is we can still incorporate both sides of the spectrum and still be in a very good space mentally and in our health. So what does that look like? So let's say, for example, Corey, you got that mindset of, you know what, I'm waiting till the holiday. I'm sorry, I'm waiting till the holiday's over. January is going to roll around. That's when I'll start. My question to you is, why not continue, right? Even if it's one thing during the Thanksgiving meal or during that Christmas meal or just the season in general, because we know sweets and all that stuff is all over the place. If there's one thing that you can maintain in consistency to promote your health in the midst of all of this, why not consider that, right? Let's say, for example, let's say it's making sure that you're drinking adequate water, right? You can still do that while indulging in your Thanksgiving meal, indulging in that holiday season. That's a health promoting behavior. And if we can build those up and maintain those during the holiday season, then we don't have to wait till January to where we do an entire overhaul, trying to remove all of the habits that we took place in that November, December month. So we can still be healthy through it, Corey. That's going to be my advice to you and just to anybody listening right now.
Oh, that's great information, man. I want to just take a rewind right quick. What made you become a registered dietitian, nutritionist, and a men's health educator?
Yeah, that's a great question, man. Thank you for that. And it really came down to me when I was 11, I got diagnosed with type 1 diabetes and wanted to learn how I can help myself and also how to help other people. Had a great experience with the registered dietitian who taught me the ins and outs of what I need to do, how I need to eat, and what I need to focus on. So that experience right there, I'll never forget that. And it made me want to say, you know what? I see myself in this profession, advocating for healthy foods, advocating for access to healthy foods, advocating to really helping people optimize their nutritional status. And when I looked further down the line, I saw that there are no dietitians who are speaking to men exclusively. And even though I'm not exclusively dedicated to men, I make my practice really centered on male themes, male theories, male topics, everything like that. Because at the end of the day, Corey, we're the ones suffering from the highest heart rate diseases, from the highest early mortality. So basically that means Black men specifically, we have the lowest life expectancy out of all demographics in the United States. We're talking about, I mean, of course, women are outliving us without a doubt, but I'm talking about every other demographic that you could think of, Black men fall at the bottom of that totem pole. So I'm realizing, okay, we have a big health disparity in Black men in the United States. My profession, we're made up of 3% Black people in general, and less than 1% of that 3% are Black men. But then Black men seem to have the highest rates of early mortality. There's a disconnect here. And if there's somebody who can dedicate their services, dedicate their time to learn about the disparities historically that men face up until this present day and speak this male language to really advocate for improved outcomes in health, especially as it comes down to nutrition, then I'm going to do that. So that's what I decided to do, Corey. And it's been a lot of fluctuations up and downs, but I'm really grateful to be here and advocating for men the way that I am.
Definitely, man. I appreciate you for, you know, pulling up on Black Men Sundays. And my next question for you is, you know, for the brothers and sisters that don't live in the best areas, they may live in what they call a food desert where you don't have access to fresh groceries. You know, there's a Pizza Hut, there's a fried chicken place, a Chinese spot, a liquor store. I mean, you know what it looks like. So for the brothers that live in those food desert environments, what advice would you give to be able to eat healthy?
A lot of people have a different take on this. People will say it's the solution is more from a policy standpoint, and I agree with that. But a big thing that I really help people see is that wherever you are at the end of the day, nobody is responsible for your health outcomes other than you. And that's a really tough pill to swallow because there are a lot of disparities.
that people have faced throughout the years, throughout history, to make us in the position that we are in, you know, isolated food deserts and just things like that, that make it hard for people to access healthy eating. But I'm always going to encourage people to still optimize wherever they are at. So what does that mean? If that means that we have to purchase canned and frozen fruits and vegetables in order for us to get our fruit and vegetable intake, let's do that. If that means that we have to freeze certain produce in order for us to have access to it later on down the line in the year, let's optimize that. Let's do that. If that means that we have to put the sodas and the sugary beverages down and pick up the water, then let's do that. If that means that we have to take that 20-minute walk after we eat dinner rather than watching that 20-minute Netflix show or that 20-minute YouTube video, let's do that. We often think that healthy eating and healthy living means that we have to purchase the most expensive food or go to the places that are the most popular in regards to health and wellness, but that's not true. Health and wellness is everywhere that we go. We just have to change our mindset most of the time and find out in our specific environment how we can access and tap into it.
And let's talk about portions. It is the holiday season. I spoke to a lot of my brothers that said, man, Thanksgiving, we grubbed out. We know we eat a little bit, but we was full. But they said, you want some more meatballs and devil eggs? They said, yes, I want more meatballs and devil. I'm already full, but you know what? It's the holiday. So let's talk about portions. How much meat should be on your plate? Veggies, you know, like I say, it's going to, because I know my plate always has yams, mac and cheese, stuffing, the turkey. And I have some devil eggs, meatballs, collard greens. Yeah. So but let's talk about portions and portion sizes that should be on your plate.
The truth is our eyes are always going to be bigger than our stomachs. And that's going to be a big challenge, especially around the holiday season where you probably have been fasting all day. Now you get to dinner time and you are starving and you grab everything that you can see in your sight. Right. So most of the times when we're having this discussion on portions, the answer to this is actually what we're doing 24 hours before the meal, right? Did we have a normal breakfast that morning? Did we consider eating lunch that day? Or are we saying to ourselves, I'm not going to eat until dinner time or to that Thanksgiving dinner time? And then that's when we are going crazy, going rampant with the portions. So I'm first going to charge everybody to take a look at what you're doing 24 hours before that. Keep it normal. Keep it regular. Look, Thanksgiving Day, Christmas Day, whatever day it is, whatever celebration or dinner that you're going to have, it's just the normal day, believe it or not. Let's keep the eating regular throughout the day. And when we get down to the meal, then we can have a regular portion because we were able to eat throughout the day regularly. And guess what, Corey? There, 9 times out of 10, there are going to be leftovers. We don't have to grab everything all at once. Let's take a second to relax. Let's be intentional. Let's get some greens on our plate first. Let's get the side salad, the appetizer that nobody likes to touch. Let's go ahead and grab some of that just to get our bodies going, our eating going. And then after that, let's get up and get another plate, right? We know the food is going to be there. Let's not act like it's going to run out after our first plate, okay? So we can be mindful in a couple of ways. I've just shared a couple tips with you all. But let's go into that with a more mindful attitude and saying, you know what? Let's pay attention to what we're doing 24 hours before. And once we get to the dinner table, let's be very smart and mindful with what we're actually choosing.
Well, I can tell you, you've never been around my cousins because let me tell you something, ain't no leftovers. Unless you made a side plate, put it in like a different packaging and hid it somewhere that you ain't going to be no leftovers. And I like what you said. And I'm just being honest. In our family, it's a race too. You better get what you're getting because there ain't going to be no leftovers. Like, it's a lot of people that come for our Thanksgivings. And I must say, man, you know, you say our eyes bigger than my stomach. I don't know. My stomach way bigger than my eyes, brother.
Way bigger. So this question on the portions must not be about you then. It must be somebody else that asked that question.
Oh, no. It's a mixed bag, you know. It's a mixed bag. It's a mixed bag, man, because, you know, the thing about it is I want to make sure that I'm healthy. I want to make sure that I'm around because, you know, our show is about generational wealth, finance, business, mental health, and we're going to add nutrition to it, you know.
Absolutely.
But I think the problem is, and then you brought up a good point about what are you doing 24 hours before? I'm not going to lie, 24 hours before, I'm not, you know what, we breakfast now, I just eat something super small. I'm not eating like a normal breakfast. I'm just eating something just to, so I'm not hungry. I'll skip lunch. And then when it's time to eat, it's gobble gobble. I'm tearing it up. And that's just how it's been for years. So my next question for you is, you know, as we're in the holiday season, I did hear you say walk after you eat. Because I'm not going to lie, after I eat, it might be a football game on. You know, you got your cousins, uncles there. They may want you to drink with them, have some wine or, you know, whatever the adult sodas are. And then next thing you know, you might have taken a nap. Because for me, fresh turkey gives me the itis. And you know what that is. So,
of course.
But yeah, so how do you, I guess if you're at the point where you're full and you get in the itis, and I'm like, man, I don't feel like walking, man. I'm going to just sleep it off. And when I wake up, hopefully the food is digested. Hopefully I'm not as full. Is that a bad move?
It possibly meant that you ate too much if you're getting tired after you eat. To be honest with you, I know this is a very unpopular thing I'm about to say, but we shouldn't be getting the itis after we eat. Okay, it just shouldn't really be happening that way. I will say this though: there are certain foods that bring more of a calming effect on your body that make you naturally a little bit tired. But I'm talking about like the itis in which we are stuck sitting there and we can't move. Like it generally shouldn't be that way. If food is supposed to be the thing that gives me energy, then I shouldn't be entirely depleted of energy after I eat. Okay, so I'm still going to err on the side of being mindful with how much you're eating. Take breaks between each plate. Assess to see like, is my stomach full right now? Have I had enough to eat? Right? Is it something in which I can wait a little while before I go back and grab some more? How can I be a little bit more active? I know the football game might be going on, but maybe I can just take some time during halftime to just take a little stroll, just to allow my body, just to really help to accelerate that digestion. And if I do that, I can even allow my body to have more a little bit later because of that. So it's not popular. I know typically we're very sedentary around the holiday season. We're sitting, we're not really doing much. There's always an activity. Right. But then there are certain games that our family can play that can help us move a little bit more, too. Right. So there are things that we can do to stay a little bit more active during the holiday season in between those meals. But we just have to put that effort in actually trying to do it.
Are you enjoying yourself on Black Men Sundays, brother?
I'm absolutely enjoying it. It's a nice day out here. I'm just chilling. Really happy to be here with you, Corey, and everybody tuning in today. So I'm really happy to be here.
Definitely, man. And let's talk about, you know, we already talked about food portions, but when should you stop eating? Because I know some guys, hey, I'm a little bit full, but I still got some more room in the tank. So at what point should you just kind of stop eating? Because I remember when I used to record a show for Imam in Orlando, and he used to say, never let your stomach get full. And I was just kind of like, interesting, but how do I know when my stomach is full? Is it when I need to kind of take that breath? Is it when, you know, because it's kind of like, to me, eating food is like playing sports. It's like, okay, I might be full right now, but that second wind kick in and okay, I can eat another plate. So how do we know when our body is full and when it's telling us, all right, you need to stop now, so we don't get the itis and all the other things?
There's a couple of physical signs that your body has reached that point in which you are full. For example, like, you know, your stomach starts to hurt, or you might have a headache, or you might start to feel that acid reflux and that regurgitation starting to kind of come in. So there are those physical signs, but oftentimes that's when it's a little too late, right? So my suggestion in this regard is when you get to that point to where you notice that you can have one or two more bites, and if you do have those one or two more bites, that'll put you at that full point. My suggestion to you is stop right there. Stop. Don't take the one or two more bites, because at that point, you're going to be overstuffed. okay? You're going to be full, over full, and it's not going to feel good on your body, okay? So when you realize that you can tolerate one or two more, that's the best time to stop. That's optimal right there. That's when, like, you know, if your scale, if you're on a hunger scale from 0 to 10, that's when you're at like that 8, right? That 8 means I'm full. I'm not stuffed. I'm just full. I'm good. I'm satisfied. And that's really a point where we as men, Black men, really can try to get to and stop it right there. Now, I will say it takes time to develop those cues, to know what that looks like, to know what that feels like for you. But I challenge everybody to really practice that to see if they can get there.
So what foods, when we're talking about vegetables, meat, just any foods, because you're a nutritionist, what are the best foods that we can eat?
To be honest with you, I'm going to start off by saying any fruit, any vegetables are on the table. All right, that's going to be the first thing. But if we want to get down to some specifics, I can say that cranberries are really good for your overall health, for your bladder, for your urinary tract, as well as your prostate health as well. So we can say the cranberry sauce, that's something that we should be snacking and trying to get on our plate. Also, cranberries have what we call antioxidants. So there's properties found in cranberry that can help slow down cancer, that can help slow down aging, and really be beneficial for our overall longevity, okay? So those green beans, we need to tap into those green beans this Thanksgiving because they are what we call a non-starchy vegetable. They have what we call fiber in them. They also have other vitamins and minerals in them that can really be beneficial for the heart, that could be beneficial for the brain and other parts of your body. There's a fruit that's called pomegranates, okay? Pomegranates, they're seasonal. So around this time, you'll find pomegranates. I recommend that you, if you have pomegranate access, you tap into those pomegranates. They are filled with what we call fiber. So they can help your bowels move. They can help your gut health, your brain health. And they also have those antioxidants that I mentioned earlier, right? So there's a ton of other ones that we can go into. But in general, whatever fruit or vegetable that you see available at that Thanksgiving table or at that Thanksgiving feast, make sure you grab those and you really strive to get those on your plate first, if possible.
Okay. And what about proteins?
Thanks for bringing that up. So obviously turkey is going to be one of the leanest. And when I say leanest, I mean it has the least amount of fat in regards to a lot of the meats we typically have on the Thanksgiving table, okay? So turkey is going to be a very lean source of protein that's giving you what we call all of the essential amino acids. So when somebody's trying to optimize their protein intake, build their muscle, repair their cells, and a whole bunch of other things, protein found in lean sources like turkey is going to be very beneficial. You also find protein in the deviled eggs. You'll also find protein in the honey-baked ham, even though that one has a higher percentage of dietary fat, especially the saturated fats that we really want to limit. So try not to go crazy with the ham, especially those fatty cuts of the ham. If you could trim them off, that would be fine. But the turkey, the ham, some people have chicken. I mean, some people have pork. I mean, there's all these different types of proteins that you can tap into for the holiday season. I would recommend that you incorporate them on your plate, but just try not to overdo them. Get a little bit of those lean proteins. You get a little bit of those vegetables, get a little bit of that starch and those grains, and get you a nice little balanced plate there.
Okay. So it sounds like what you're saying to me is I need to have more green than protein on my plate. That kind of rhymes too, but is that true or no?
I can't say you should have more green, but I will recommend that you have some greens, okay, regardless of where you're getting them from. Whether it's the green beans, whether it's the collard greens, whether it's the carrots, whether it's the mixed vegetables, wherever you see them or whatever you have access to, make sure those are some of the first things going on to your plate. Not to say that those should be more than the protein, but at least make sure that they are there every time that you do go grab a plate.
Okay. And I'm going to ask you this. I know my family going to be like, man, why are you calling us out? I'm just saying it's holiday time. Like I said, we might ask, you know, grandma in the kitchen, auntie in the kitchen. We might have a couple of drinks on an empty stomach because we're waiting for the food to be ready. Mm. You know, we got a nice little buzz. We feeling good. Then when the food comes, we definitely tearing it up. Is that a good thing to do, or should you have something on your stomach before you have any alcoholic beverages?
Yeah, you should definitely have something on your stomach. And remember earlier when I said that you the 24 hours before Thanksgiving really matter. So you should be eating throughout the day to where you're not necessarily on an empty stomach. And I know that's such a hard concept because you're just like, Greg, the point of Thanksgiving is for me to pig out. I'm supposed to be eating everything that I see. What do you mean I'm not supposed to go into this meal on an empty stomach? That's exactly what I mean, okay? So try to have your breakfast, try to have your lunch so that you're not at that point where you do have an empty stomach, so that if you do have some drinks before the actual meal, at least you have already had something on your stomach for that day.
And let me ask you that. So what can happen to your body if you drink on an empty stomach?
Well, when it comes down to drinking on an empty stomach, just the effects of the alcohol will be a lot stronger without food on your, without food in your stomach, right? That's really what it comes down to. There are some more like deeper scientific things. I'm not gonna missay something, but I will say that when people drink on an empty stomach, that alcohol will definitely take effect a lot harsher than if they were to have something on their stomach before they actually eat. So a lot of those effects that we get when we drink, they intensify when we don't have something on our stomach.
We're in the holiday season. We've had Thanksgiving. Christmas is around the corner. I know I'm going to get some exercise doing some Christmas shopping, but it's New Year's is coming up. I want to have a better diet. You know, I'm tired of eating chicken tenders, fries, burgers, pizzas. I want to get a better diet. Because like I said, my gut is bigger than my eyes. You know, everybody say your eyes. No, mine is the opposite for sure. So I need to lose some weight. So I know I need to walk. I know I need to exercise. But as far as foods going forward in the new year, and I want to have a more nutritious diet. I don't want to be, it's 9 o'clock at night and me and the wife trying to see who got that 40% Uber off. What recommendations do you have for a diet for the new year?
And I'll sum it down to three things. I would say number one, if we can get to a point where we are limiting our sugary beverages and cutting that down to almost none and allowing ourselves maybe to have like a cup of juice here and there, right? But limiting those sugary beverages, which include all juices, sodas, those things have tons of added sugar that can be very taxing on the body. If we can replace those with non-sugary beverages, mainly water, we can even do flavored water, seltzer water, you know, those zero sugar beverages, that's going to be a major push in the right direction. And as you can see, that's not even going on no diet. That's just you choosing a better beverage option, promoting healthier hydration for your body. That's number one. Number two, more colorful plates. If I'm looking at my plate and my plate is just brown, it's all starch and protein, or it's just all starch mainly, there's no color, there's no variety. That also means that there's no variety in nutrients in that plate, which means that I'm not getting the full spectrum of a healthy, balanced diet. So if I add a little bit of color in there, and when I mean color, I mean my fruits and my vegetables, which we as Americans are not getting enough of anyway, which we as Black men for sure ain't getting enough of anyway. So increase those. Number one, stick to more water. Number two, more colorful plates. And number three, Corey, goes into what you actually gave away number three without even noticing you gave away number three. Cooking at home more. All right. We're relying and depending way too much on the Uber Eats. We're relying and depending way too much on that drive home from work, and we're just trying to see what's available on the side of the road. Depending way too much on that. It's really hard for you to eat healthier when you're depending on outside food. We need to get a little bit more intentional with creating meals and preparing meals at home. We'll spend a lot less money and we'll likely eat a lot healthier when we do that. So if we can do those three things, drink more water, diversify the color on our plates, and eat at home more often, those are three tips to get started on a healthy diet for just about anybody.
And for the people that say, okay, I have a job where I'm on a computer all day, I'm not really exercising, I'm eating, I go to work. They may have food sitting there. It's like, well, I don't have to go buy no lunch today. I didn't bring my lunch because I may have got up late, but they have food here. So my question for you is, for people that aren't really exercising enough or they don't have a job, like some people have jobs where you get to exercise on your job. What's the minimum amount of exercise that you would recommend that we need daily?
You know, we used to recommend 30 minutes a day, but honestly, right, we're getting to that point where we're just recommending any intentional movement, whether it's 10 minutes in that day, is going to be better than nothing. Now, if we're really trying to be optimal, 30 minutes a day would be the optimal exercise recommendation, right, of aerobic or non-aerobic activity. So cardio or strength training, 30 minutes a day would be optimal. But at this point, since we're not getting much regardless, if somebody's getting 10 minutes and they tell me that, and I'm just like, okay, that's great. You know, if that's all you can manage and all you can handle and you can be consistent with that, then we'll take it. It's better than doing nothing. So I can't really say like what's a maximum, what's a minimum. We're going to say whatever is optimal for you with, you know, given your schedule, what you have available to you, that's what we're going to do.
Well, there you have it. I think we could wrap it up right there. Gregory LaFortune, thanks for coming on Black Men Sundays, registered dietitian, nutritionist, men's health educator. I appreciate you. I appreciate your time. I know you're a busy man. Thank you for coming on the show. You shared a lot of knowledge today. We learned a lot and I learned a lot. So thank you so much. Many blessings.
Blessings to you as well, Black Men Sunday. Thanks for having me. Really glad to be here again. Y'all take care and have a wonderful holiday weekend.
It's a Black Men Sunday. Time to put all childish things away.